This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Richard Viguerie, who's the head of conservativehq.com. We want to get his thoughts on the impact of Scott Brown in the U.S. Senate, a candidate that Tea Partiers spent a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears getting elected back in January. But what exactly have they gotten for that effort? We also want to get his reaction to some other stories involving the Tea Party over the past several days. And Richard, it's always great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
Well, when it comes to Scott Brown, one of the big reasons he got elected is because he said he was opposed to the health care bill. The Democratic leadership maneuvered it so that he didn't get the chance to help bring that bill down. Since that time, some folks have said he's been a huge disappointment. Others say, well, he's a Republican, but he's from Massachusetts, so we need to expect this. What's been your assessment of Mr. Brown?
Well, it's some of both, Greg. Sure, I think we're glad he's there, and we don't get as many votes from him as we think we should. Conservatives, Tea Party types, we don't expect to get all the votes. After all, he didn't come to the Senate as a movement conservative, but he did come as a right of center Republican. That's why the voters elected him. And he's been a disappointment, and we're pleased that he's there, though. But he's going to have to be seen as more of a Republican if he wants to get the have a career as a national Republican. If he just wants to keep reelected in Massachusetts, maybe keep doing what you're doing. But if he wants to have a national career, he's going to have to be seen as more of a traditional Republican.
Richard, what's the balance there? Obviously, Massachusetts is a very left-leaning state, so to win there at all as a Republican is quite a feat. But obviously, someone from your perspective wants someone who will be adhering to the conservative principles as much as possible. So how good can you do in a place like that? Is he about as good as you can do?
Well, I think we can do. He can do better, quite frankly. This vote yesterday on the financial system, where it was a massive government intrusion, in many instances takeover of our banks and financial institutions, and this is not something that the grassroots is clamoring, to do. This is something that is as dangerous for America's future as the health care bill. And you can see the dangers in the health care bill, and it's disappointing that he can't see the dangers in Obama's takeover of our financial institutions. So I think that he's sending mixed signals. He's not being consistent in terms of where he sees the threat from the federal government.
We're speaking with Richard Viguerie, head of conservativehq.com. And Richard, also this week, of course, the Tea Party was the target of a resolution from the NAACP suggesting that it try to address racist elements within the Tea Party. That was dialed back from an earlier proposed resolution, which basically branded the Tea Party movement as a whole as racist. What do you make of that?
Well, you have to keep in mind that listeners should keep in mind that the NAACP today is a far cry from the NAACP of maybe 50 years ago. Today's NAACP is basically, for all intents and purposes, an arm of the Democratic Party. They're a race-based organization that will never be happy with anything other than a socialist America. And they're just, anytime you see anything coming from them, it's always going to be on the far left, and it'll be a position advocated by the majority of Democratic Party leaders. Mm-hmm. So I don't think serious people take them serious. They had a wonderful role to play many years ago, but they've tarnished their wonderful image by becoming partisan Democrats exclusively.
Well, the conventional wisdom portrayed by many in the mainstream media, of course, is that this is a monolithic group of white Americans, largely men. You've been at many of these rallies. What does it look like? What kind of broad swath of demographics are coming together here?
Well, what you have with the Tea Party, Greg, is a revolt of the middle class against leaders of most of America's major institutions, quite frankly. They feel that the leaders whether it's political or media, mainstream media, Hollywood, big business, Wall Street, that they have abused their trust that the people have placed in them. And a lot of times people think their anger of the Tea Party people is directed exclusively to the politicians, and it's far, far more than that. When I got involved in politics back in late 1950s, early 60s, the conservative movement, the Republican Party's base, quite frankly, was two issues, national defense and economic issues. Now, in the 70s, we added a third leg to that stool, which was the social issues. Last year, with the birth of the Tea Party movement, it's now four legs, and it's at a table, and a large table it is at that. But these people are different than the old traditional conservatives, concerned about balanced budget, lower taxes. These people are unfettered by old ties and old relationships. And too many of our conservative leaders, Greg, in the last 15 years or so, have become an appendage of the Republican Party. They just went along with whatever big government Republicans wanted. These Tea Party people are different, and they could be the salvation of the Republican Party, quite frankly.
And obviously they've made a major impact in primaries around the country. One of the things, though, that has been argued, certainly by folks in the mainstream media and even some on the left, is that they wanted these Tea Party candidates to win because they're not potentially mainstream enough to win a general election. We see a new poll out from Mason-Dixon showing that Harry Reid is actually ahead of Sharon Angle in Nevada, although Harry Reid's favorability numbers are still very low, and he's still losing in other surveys like Rasmussen. Are you worried that some of these candidates, while better than some of the other options on the Republican ballot, are going to have more trouble than some of those other candidates would have had in November?
Well, you know, that's what the conventional wisdom is, that that safe, cautious, non-threatening Republicans are the best way to go. But we have a situation now for the first time in my lifetime, Greg, where a high percent, I think a majority of Americans are frightened for the future of our country. And safe, cautious politicians are going to have a hard time, I think, prevailing. You pointed out correctly that Harry Reid's unfavorable numbers in Nevada have been in the tank for at least a year and a half, if not longer. And Sharon Angle is new. They don't know her yet. And when the Nevada voters get introduced to her, they will push her over the top, and she will be a strong winner, I think. It's interesting that whatever the poll numbers are, Harry Reid's never reaches more than 44%, and that's his high watermark, and it was in that poll you just referenced. Today was 44%. Usually it's closer to 42, 43%. So people are looking for something that's going to make a difference in America, and these safe, cautious, big business, big government type Republicans are falling by the wayside in whether it's in Florida or Kentucky or Nevada, state after state after state. People say we want real change.
Richard, thank you very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Our pleasure, sir. Richard DeVigory is the head of conservativehq.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.